Right, hello everyone. Welcome to another Cosmic Circus review. My name is Vin. With me, as always, is John.
Hello.
And today we are doing Joker. As a matter of fact, we're doing both Jokers. As a matter of fact, I just watched a double feature. I just watched the first Joker for the first time, then I watched the second Joker, and then I came home. It's 12:30 at night. I just got here. John, oh, hold on. Before I get into it, Joker 2019, directed by Todd Phillips, written by Todd Phillips and Scott Silver, starring Joaquin Phoenix, Robert De Niro, Zazie Beetz. Joker, Folie à Deux, 2024, directed by Todd Phillips, written by Scott Silver, Todd Phillips, starring Joaquin Phoenix, Lady Gaga, Brendan Gleeson. John, what is your experience with Joker 2019?
Well, what's the purpose of this with I am sick? So if I'm copying in the video, everybody knows why. Let me get that out right. I'm sick, so I'm sorry to the viewers. My experience with Joker is probably just about everybody else, man. I mean, it came out in 2019 and became a very big hit. I don't understand how the movie became a very big hit.
It's Joker.
It's depressing.
Okay.
It's a depressing film that somehow made $1 billion before the pandemic, which is staggering, you know? I leaned more positive than most, but I still thought it was a flawed film, you know, but I was more positive because I enjoyed the conversation about mental illness.
For sure.
That I had to talk about. Like, there's one part in the film where they discuss about the lack of resources to help with that. And
how they keep cutting the resources available, right?
I think that's a pretty powerful conversation that the film has. It's a great performance by him. I love how he made that laugh feel painful. Like, it was almost like when he laughs, like he's like suffering.
Absolutely, laughs. Absolutely.
You know, something that should be joyful looked like it hurt for him to do that.
And you know, I have to mention, it goes really back to the inspiration for Joker was from a movie called The Man Who Laughs with Conrad Veidt. And like, I don't remember, I think 1928 or something. Have you heard of that movie?
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it, but I've heard of it, yes.
In that movie, he does exactly what Joaquin Phoenix does in 2019. And that movie, he has like this like painful smile. And I don't think he even talks in the whole movie, but he has this painful, because it's a silent film, of course, so he doesn't talk. He has this painful smile, and you see the pain, but the pain is only in his eyes. It's such a powerful performance. It's one of my favorite film performances of all time, The Man Who Laughs. And Joaquin Phoenix is doing something really similar as the Joker when he has that like crying laugh that he does. I felt in Joker 2, he doesn't really capture that again. I didn't really feel that pain again, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah.
No. I think there's a reason for that, though, and we'll go into that.
We'll get into that later, yeah.
There's only so much you could say about that movie. I do think a lot of the problems that people had with it are kind of some of my problems, because it's almost glorifying an insult. Like this guy who's like this toxic, angry white male who is wanting attention, wanting to be a celebrity. It wants to take down the system and inspires a bunch of incels just like him to do the same thing. Now, I do feel like that is a very, very valid criticism of the film. And why, if people didn't like it for that, I totally get it.
I would ask you, though, is that a criticism if that's what the movie's point was? The point was to show how vulnerable all these people are and how you have this agent of anarchy who can inspire all these vulnerable unseen people to suddenly do something.
Yeah, but the thing is, it makes them appear heroic at the end of it, and that's
but that's a statement. Art is to make a statement, right? It doesn't have to be the right statement or a morally
I'm just pointing out why people had a problem with it.
Okay.
And I do think it's a fair argument that it's painting that situation in a positive light when we're in the middle of a lot of similar situations with toxic individuals that want to destroy society norms.
And I will say that what you're saying is exactly the reason why I wasn't interested in watching Joker when it came out. And why I was like, I don't care. And why I never watched it until now. Yeah. But for your exact reason, I was like, I'm not interested in this argument and what it has to say. But now, go on.
Can I pivot to number two, if
No,
I may?
no, because I haven't talked about one.
Okay.
So I just watched it right now for the first time. And to be honest, I was really surprised how great that first movie is. Like, I know he's won the Oscars or whatever it is, but like, I really like from what you just said, I really didn't expect much out of this movie, and I was really surprised. His performance is so good in this movie. Like, of course, there's a physical transformation, but there's also his facial transformation, and like you said, like this like painful laughter that he has, and like you really feel his pain. Of course, to what extent do you sympathize with him, and like, do you say, oh yes, this is morally justified? That's between you and your own conscience. But as far as like the filmmaking goes, I was really impressed by it. I thought the direction was okay. I thought the music was okay. The cinematography was pretty good. But just I think the writing and the acting were so solid in that first movie. I'm shocked. There's like,
The score is good too. The
yeah,
score is very good.
I don't think it was like great, but it was good. It reminded me a lot of like Hans Zimmer's music from the Dark Knight movies, like a watered down version of that. Like they wanted you to kind of feel that same kind of
Well,
atmosphere.
there's one part where he's dancing in the bathroom. Or that.
Yeah,
Just so,
yeah.
yeah, that musical progression, I think, is really beautifully done
Yes,
in
there's
the
some scenes
bathroom.
that are so well done in that first movie.
Yeah.
And I was really just shocked how like it really shows Joker as an agent of anarchy. Like they really see like he didn't mean to inspire these people, but he did inspire these people. And then you see this domino effect. He causes all these protests. The protests lead to Thomas Wayne being murdered, but that both Thomas and Martha being murdered. It's like this beautiful closed circle, and it's all like rooted in Joker lore actually from the comics. Like it has all these little details from the comics Joker. I'm like, it's a real Joker movie. It's not just an anarchy movie. Like it's actually Joker from the comics. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. Okay, so that's my spiel on Joker one. I actually liked it a lot. Now, John, tell me about Joker two.
Well, the reason why I wanted to pivot to number two when I did is because everything that I said about the critique about it, glorifying the angry incel aspect of it. I understand why people hate this film. I get it. I understand it. Every criticism is fair, but I feel like it is a counter argument to number one, where it's actually
I agree.
saying you should not fantasize to be this guy. You should not want to be this guy. You should not inspire to be this kind of individual. It's almost like Todd Phillips felt a lot of those people taking the wrong message from the first film. It was like, no, that's not what you're supposed to get from that. This is bad. He did a bad thing.
I'll say it feels like an apology for the first movie.
Yeah, it does feel like an apology, and it also feels like it's the same people that think Tyler Durden
Oh, yeah.
is the hero of Fight Club. He's not. Tyler Durden is not a good person to aspire to be. And there's this group of 2,000 men who were like, no, man, Tyler Durden is cool. I want to be like that guy. Screw the system. We should take it all down. And this is like a letter to them. No, that's not why I'm here. Arthur Fleck is a problematic individual. You should not want to be like him.
John, do you think that kind of PSA, public safety announcement, was that necessary?
I mean, like, the thing is, Joker made $1 billion. It was going to make, they were going to make a sequel.
Yes, I agree.
Was it necessary? I don't know if it's necessary to make a sequel to that film,
But
but
this type of sequel where it's like a rejection of, or apology for the first.
yeah, you know, I actually appreciate it because, and again, I understand all the backlash. I understand exactly why people hate it, but Todd Phillips, he did the Hangover franchise. Hangover 1 and Hangover 2 are the same exact movie, and I hated the sequel because he did the same thing, but worse. Joker, Folie à Deux, for all the warts and all the problems it's got, they really tried to do something completely outside the box. And no, I don't think it entirely works. But kind of like Matrix 4, I appreciate
The attempt.
that. Yeah, I do. I like an interesting failure than a safe bet.
My issue is I don't think Joker 2 is interesting. Like, first of all, I feel it was deviously mismarketed as a Joker and Harley movie. I don't think this is a Joker and Harley movie. Harley is in this movie, but it's not Joker and Harley, not really.
It's not the filmmaker's fault because the people that run those trailers,
Yeah.
those are media houses that do all that. That's not Todd Phillips' fault. The actual film that they gave us, that Phillips made, I mean, if they marketed it correct, I agree the misunderstanding might be better. But that's not the fault of the filmmaker. That but is the fault of the trailer houses.
I think it's just maybe just the expectations, which is might be fair or not, but the expectations is saying we have a Joker movie, and we're having the sequel introducing Harley Quinn. This is not the kind of movie you expect when you hear that. No matter what the actual trailer, just when you see the Hollywood Reporter headline, Joker 2 with Harley. Okay, but this isn't that kind of movie.
But the movie that they gave you.
Yes.
The movie they actually gave you.
Yes.
Is a movie where Harley is typecasted as the Joker role. She's the one wanting to manipulate him and make him do her bidding. And the thing is, I understand what people wanted, but what we got is more interesting. They could have made the same film. They could have done another one. It could have been a complete anarchy film. It could have been a natural born killers kind of movie. And it could have been just another safe going into our bed. That's not what they did. They tried to throw music in there. They tried to subvert everything. I mean, like, I get it. Again, I understand why people hate it. But I still love the fact that they took $200 million and made this.
I think I like the idea of what they were trying to do. Even I mean, based on the movie, not based on expectations. I like the idea of what they were trying to do more than the actual movie itself. I think my biggest issue with it might be, I never felt any emotional investment. I never actually really cared about anything. Second of all, I like musicals a lot. I really do. But every time they started to sing...
It brings the movie to a halt.
Yes, it's the worst kind of musical where it adds nothing to the story and it just pauses everything to add nothing. And I think that's really frustrating. There's some musicals where it's done so well and it helps you see sides of the characters or express emotions that they can't just say with words. But this is not that. This is like, it just pauses to do some musical thing, but there's no emotional investment in this musical thing. It's just a daydream for the sake of a daydream.
Well, I don't know if it was that. I think it's supposed to be Harley Quinn bringing him back into that fantasy, that idea of himself from number one. And he almost gets there. I feel like if I say more, we're going to have to go into spoilers. But I do feel like, you know, as awkward as those moments are, and I do agree, they bring everything to a halt. Because it's not a conventional musical by the term musical, you know? If they advertised it as a genuine musical, I think everybody would want to like riot right now, you know? Yes.
Because I remember even Lizzie was asking us one time, she was like, is this a musical or not? And now you can understand why they were like so coy about it, because it kind of is, it kind of isn't. It's not a very good musical, but it's
not a very good musical,
but it's not a very good one. So,
but I don't think it's trying to be though. Like, at least my takeaway, you know, I never thought from the film that it was trying to be a good musical. I felt like it was just, that was the movie's language of fantasy, you know?
I understand that, yeah.
We can argue whether it does that.
Well or not, yeah.
But I don't think it's genuinely and earnestly trying to be a musical, at least from my perspective.
I think it is, because they put a lot of effort and to the production design of those sequences. And they really tried to make it look like certain stage musicals or things like that. Like, even with the lighting, with the sets.
They're so brief.
I think it's badly done. I think the intention was to make something so classical, like the 1950s. And you even see, like, clips from 1950s musicals. But I don't think the juice is there. Like, they tried, but it just...
But again, like, you know, my other argument is, if they genuinely were trying to make it a good musical, they would have put a little more effort into Joaquin Phoenix's voice. Because, like, I mean, like, he's like, it's just like everything is made odd because the Joker is an odd character. It's brief, it's flash, and it doesn't really try to invoke these like broad sweeping musical set pieces that are typical in Hollywood.
Yeah.
To me, at least, I never got that. Again, I understand why people hate them. I get it. I totally get it. They're not well done. They're not well. The musical bits are not well done.
I don't think I hate it. I don't feel anything positive, like almost in general for the whole movie. I think my favorite thing in the whole movie might be Lady Gaga's final Harley Quinn outfit, which you see in the trailers anyway. Like all the cool things from this movie are already in the trailers. And I felt nothing strong about this. There's nothing I really loved about it and nothing I really hated. It was just
Let me ask you this. Did you really think that they were trying to give you a positive buzz on those musical numbers? Because I never got that.
I
I
don't know
never.
what they're. I agree with you that they're trying to ex just express his fantasy, but it's like they had the idea, like we'll use musicals to express his fantasy. The great idea, but then you have to make me feel something. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time, and we're just sitting there. Like the guy next to me, literally, started doing this every time they started singing, because
I
that's
know because they gave a musical to DC fans. I'm sorry, I just don't think this is
I like
the
musicals, but
right audience.
this is not a good musical.
I think even if it were a good musical, DC fans would still be like, what?
Yeah. I feel like they would have to work extra hard to overcome this barrier because there's such a big disconnect between comic book fans and musicals, which I don't think there should be because it's all about fantasy. It's all about heightened emotions and heightened reality. Like, why not have musical superhero? They should go together, but whatever.
Well, I agree with you. They're not good. They're awkwardly interested. Sometimes they feel a little forced, like it brings the whole thing to a halt. But again, I feel weird tearing the film down, given everything that they do, everything they're swinging for. I mean, like it's like they did all this, and I can't help but marvel at
Bad
just.
word, wrong word.
I can't help but be like amazed that anybody at Warner Brothers greenlit this wild, strange, bizarre set of scenes.
Yeah, I
Like,
really think I think they just took the first script that was ready and they're like, all right, we made $1 billion. Here's a script. Go make this. What we were talking about with Beetlejuice. I feel like it's not the sequel you would have expected. I don't think it's the best sequel they could have made, but it's a sequel if anybody wanted one. It's a follow-up, one of many possible follow-ups, but it's.
I think what happened is they were going to make a sequel no matter what,
Of course.
because it was a billion-dollar film,
Yes.
and they had Joaquin Phoenix
Yes.
at the forefront. And no matter what you do with Joaquin Phoenix, it's going to turn out weird, divisive, and chaotic, and it's going to just break everyone's minds. Like, I would argue the backlash to this film is not much different than the one that he had a year ago. That was from A24.
Beau is afraid?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think there's much of a difference in how people responded to that film as they did to this film. It was divisive. There was confrontation. People were walking out of it. People were going online, going, I love it, I hate it, though, and arguing. I just think this is the result of giving $200 million to a Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Do you think Joaquin Phoenix and Joker 2, how would you compare his performance to Joker 1 and his importance? To me, I'll quickly say, to me, I felt he was fine. He's doing the role again, but I didn't feel anything new from this performance. I felt it was just returning to what he did before, but he didn't elevate it in any way. I felt Lady Gaga.
I disagree, but I'm gonna have to go into spoilers to talk about
We can go
why.
into spoilers. Let's go into spoilers.
All right, cool. Spoilers starting now. If you have
Spoiler
not
alert,
watched
he turns into the Joker.
Joker Folie à Deux, please make your exit now. Okay. I disagree that there's not much of a difference or there's not anything new. For one, I don't think the role required him to be the same Arthur Fleck because he's been rehabilitated for a while. So I think he's been kind of like, from what I was getting, is that he was working on himself while he was in there for his lawyer. That's what I was getting from that communication. The second thing, there's one sequence that I feel like completely makes the entire film for me, and it is at the trial where it involves him and Gary Puddles. And I feel like that entire sequence is everything about the film. It says everything about where the character is now compared to where he was then.
For me,
He's being.
I thought the most powerful scene from the trial was that final his final closing statements where he says, "I can't be Joker anymore." And for
I
me,
agree.
I think that for me, I guess that is the one scene that I actually felt something powerful.
For me, it was Gary Puddles because he says to him, because in the first movie, he liked Gary because Gary was nice to him.
Yes.
In this movie, the roles are reversed, and he says to him that he liked Arthur Fleck because he was the only one nice to him. And I got a little emotional in that moment. And I can see that in Joaquin Phoenix, that that was the moment of the film that kind of like defined the entire thing, because the thing that he became, the fantasy that he became, was the thing that made the one person who cared about him scared of him. You know, that's when he realized all this fantasy that he's living in is hurting the one person that actually was on his side at one time. And I thought that pretty powerful. I don't know about you, but I found that powerful.
Careful, John. You're almost making me like this movie. Because I see now, because you have Gary Puddles, who likes Arthur Fleck, and then you have Harley, who likes Joker. And then you have the character who's like in between, like the angel and the devil, and he's trying to figure out his identity. And he's trying to figure out who he was and who he's become. And that's how he swings back. Huh.
Yes.
Yeah. I see the vision. I don't think the movie executes it well, but I see the vision.
And I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think it's clumsy and it puts it together. Yeah. But I do think a vision is there. I do think there is a statement that is there. This is not to say that criticisms are not valid on the film. I agree with everybody that this movie is flawed as hell. But I do think some of the extreme backlash is some of those people that want to feel like Harley, they want this to be Joker's movie. They want this to be a Joker film.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not what we got. We got an Arthur Fleck film. It is about a man. It is about Arthur Fleck. And that is it. And that is justifiably why everybody's upset about it.
Yeah, it's like Joker, The Return of Arthur Fleck. That's like a better subtitle.
Yeah.
Do you think this movie makes the first one better?
I don't know. I mean, okay. The thing is, like, I don't got said in my review. I mean, I'm probably, like, you know, contradicting myself, like, left and right, but that's fine.
Yeah. It's still fresh in your mind. Yeah.
I don't think either film is enjoyable just on a surface level.
Okay.
I think they are both very dour, unsettling, uncomfortable, squirmy. I didn't find either movie. Like I said in my review, I will probably never watch either one of these movies ever again.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
When was the last time you watched Joker 1?
In theaters.
That's it. 5 years ago. Wow.
5 years ago. I remember all of it. I just, like, as much as I appreciate the art and the work and oh my God, the cinematography in this.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
As much as I love all those things, I just don't find myself being like, man, you know what I'm going to do tonight?
Sure.
I'm going to sit down on a comfortable night and watch Joker. Just.
Yeah, yeah. But I think if you were to make a movie about the Joker, I think that first one is like the best movie you could have asked for. I think it's really, really good for capturing a Joker movie. I want to ask you, John, first question, do you think they'll make a Joker 3? Second question,
no.
Where do you think all these like Batman Easter eggs are leading to? So you have the Waynes killed, you have now Bruce Wayne, and now you have a Harvey Dent with half his face burned, and you have a Harley Quinn, and like they're setting up, they even mentioned Bullock at one point, Detective Bullock. They're setting up all this stuff, I guess. Do you think it's going to lead anywhere? Dead. It's dead.
No. I mean, like, I think it's an Elseworld movie, and that's it. I don't think anybody had any intention to make a universe in that world. I think it's just one of those things that's just there for DC to go, oh, look, Harvey Dent. Oh, look, them. I think it's fan service, and that's it.
For me, that's a little disappointing because I see them building this up, and I would like to see it all, like, conclude. Like, and now it's the birth of Batman or something. I don't need Batman in it, but I want, because now the final statement is Joker was killed by the thing he created. And I guess that's fine, but I don't know.
They've said that from the get-go, though. Like,
yeah, I know. I felt like this second movie didn't add really much. I thought the end of the first one was much better. I thought the first movie was much stronger from beginning to end. The second movie, it adds a lot, but I don't think it was, it makes it better.
I don't know if that was the intent. I think they got begged to make another film.
Yes.
Warner Brothers probably backed up the money truck and said, please make another movie because we made $1 billion. And Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips were like, okay, well, we're going to do this. How weird can we do it? And they did it. They made it weird. And I, you know, love it or hate it, I mean, dude, they really went for it. I mean, come on, man. They really went for it in that film.
I wish they pulled it off. Because I think the potential, I think, was there. I wish they pulled it off.
It didn't come together.
I think what I would have liked, of I guess I'm fanficking now, I would have liked everything in this movie to be like compressed into the first half. And then you have a proper Joker and Harley, like something, like they really like destroy, they blow up Gotham or something. A Joker Harley, like real adventure, not fantasy. And then at the end, they break up and then he dies, I guess. Because I wanted the Joker and Harley stuff. That's what I was expecting. And it never delivers on that. Instead, it's this courtroom drama, and that never builds to anything meaningful, I guess.
Well, I think the message in the film is that Arthur Fleck is not the Joker. You know, I mean, yeah. I think that's what it is. Like, probably what's going to happen is Lee and whoever did that to him are probably going to be Joker and Harley. Like,
well, I think the reason why it's just some random guy at the end. It's like the message is not that there is a Joker. I think the message is that Joker is an ideology. And it's all these faceless people, all these people around the world, around Gotham, all these like forgotten, neglected, angry people. These are Joker. It's anarchy.
But do you think it's condemning that by the end of it? Compared to number one.
Well, number one, I really think number one is like anarchy is a powerful movement. And you can say, I support this movement, I don't support this movement, but it's saying, this is how anarchy happens. And the second movie, I think it's saying, this is what happens when anarchy gets out of your control, and now you're like, what have I created? And then your own creation kills you, but now the fire's already spreading, and that's it. So I don't think it's saying that there is a new Joker, but it's saying everyone's the Joker. And one thing I did like, I don't know if you noticed, the guy who kills him, he starts carving a smile into his own face. Did you see that?
Yeah, I was okay. Mixed on that, to be honest. I was mixed on that.
I like it because it's like showing kind of that there's different forms. They're acknowledging the different aspects of Joker. Because this Arthur Fleck Joker never has the cut smile that Heath Ledger has.
No, he doesn't. No. But it felt very Heath Ledger-ish.
Yeah.
The way that was happening. So I was like, I'm just like, I don't know if I needed that. But, you know, but it was fine. It was fine. I mean,
it was fine.
One of the things that I don't think that's the worst thing the movie does.
Yeah. If somebody says, I'm going to watch The Joker, will you tell them, watch this one also? Like, will you say they go together? Or will you say, forget about it, just watch the first
one? The way that I've described it to everybody is that if you didn't like number one, you're not going to like this one.
Yeah, but what about all the people who did like number one?
I think if you like number one, you get a 50-50 shot. 50-50 in the dark.
That's generous.
Hey, I'm just saying, based on what I've seen online, there's two conversations that are happening. There's brilliant, or this is the worst thing since Megalopolis.
Okay, see, I don't think it's worth either extreme, but here's what I think. I think if you didn't like the first one, you won't like this. If you liked the first one, you still won't like this. The end.
and you might be right. You might be right, but I came away and you're going to look at me and you're going to think I'm crazy. I think this is the better film, personally. I think it is. I think the message.
Okay. From a moral point of view, I see. Okay.
From a moral point of view, I think it's the better film.
Yeah.
Well, it is condemning it. It's condemning the audience that is fascinated by Joker.
But I'm not going to a Joker movie for a morality lesson. You're going to a Joker movie to see the bad guy do bad things and be the hero of his own story, right?
You're not supposed to be
able to. You don't need to see the trial of Joker. Joker apologizes. Who wants a Joker movie?
Yeah, but the thing is,
being Joker's bad.
No, but the thing is, man, you have to already be on that wavelength.
Okay.
To begin with, and I think there's a lot of people that didn't really care for making the main character the Joker to begin with. I don't think Joker deserves the Venom treatment. You know, I don't think he does. I don't think we need to be on Joker's side. There's a reason why in the Dark Knight, like when he works best, and he's got an opponent, because there's somebody that's arguing that morality point. I don't think we're supposed to be on his side. And I do think number one puts you a little bit in a sympathetic position with Arthur Fleck. And I just, for my purposes, given everything that's gone on in the past, 8 years, I don't think that's a character worth sympathizing right now. But that's
I,
just...
I I think for me, when I watched the first movie, again, just now, I didn't like really. I understand his situation. I understand how everyone's like, it's like the worst possible thing happens over and over and over again. But I didn't say, yes, you are right. Go be Joker. But I understand how these events can lead to this outcome. But that doesn't mean what he's doing is justified. I didn't feel like I support him. But I say, I understand how this could happen to someone.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm saying that's what you're doing. You know, I'm speaking broadly when I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
This is not like an actual like attack on you or anything like that. You know, if you love the movie just because you love the movie, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like, you know, there's a threshold in number one where the violence is borderline sympathetic. It's borderline.
Okay.
And for me, you know, it just like, if you're asking me which movie do I like better, I think number two is better because it is confronting that argument. Mm-hmm. And it's interrogating that conversation. And I appreciate that it did that. That's just all.
It's a really interesting conversation, John. This is really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think the first movie, I think, is just executed so well with its message, even if it's not a message that, like we just talked about. But I think its execution is rock solid, that it knows what it wants you to feel and makes you feel it. And
it is a more clear vision.
Yeah.
But I do also think, and I'm going to just bring this up, I think another problem, number one, mm-hmm. is that it's very similar to Taxi Driver. Very similar to Taxi Driver and The King of Comedy. It's a weird like almost to a fault at times.
I mean, that's why De Niro's in the movie, right?
Not subtle at all.
Martin Scorsese needs royalties on this.
So to me, like I said, I appreciate the freshness of number two.
Yeah.
That it tried to be its own thing.
Yeah.
It didn't do a great job.
I see what you're saying.
I had a friend kind of jokingly send me a message that was like, I feel like you're like saying about the film that, you know, they have a really nice personality. You know, so I'm like, that's not what I'm trying to say, but, you know, close enough. Close enough, I guess.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Are we good?
I think we have gone as far as we can go in this movie.
Anyways, guys, thanks for watching. Let us know what you think in the comments about Joker 1, Joker 2. Who's right? Who's wrong? What's the better movie? I have to say, I'm surprised that both of these have the same writers, Todd Phillips and Scott Silver, because they feel so different, I guess. Anyway, let us know in the comments. Be sure to like and subscribe so we can make more of these. What is your opinion on Joker 1 and Joker 2? If you've seen them, what did you think of both? I'm Vin. You can find me on Twitter at VinWritesWords.
I'm John. And whenever I recover from whatever I have, you can find me at John Movie Watch.
Be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Twitter at MyCosmicCircus, where you can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and pins like the ones you just watched. Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Bye.